All right, Frankie Corrado, Dave Festrick in here. We're going to call up Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider, here in a moment. Which Canadian market do you think is most nervous about, you know, what could transpire over the next 2 weeks?
Montreal, I think.
Yeah?
I think so. You have a chance to get the first overall pick, and you're hoping you're not going to be in that position ever again because you want to be a competitive team. And you don't know who your GM is taking. And if you listen to the insiders and you listen to all the media reports out there, there's no consensus number one that's going to change the course of your franchise. So I'd be a little nervous if I was Montreal fans.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's a little self-interested, but I'm thinking it's Toronto, Frankie. I mean, there's a lot on the table here. Like, as sort of steadfast and calm as Brendan Shanahan attempted to portray himself after the sixth straight first-round failure of his tenure as president of this team. And as much as they talk about how they believe in this group, who exactly is in this group is very much up for debate when it comes to some foundational positions, especially that one that plays in the blue paint. So, and that, to me, when you look at how thin this goaltending market is, Hayes, that really sets me at unease if I'm a Leaf fan.
Yeah, I think it may be Calgary, though, because like their top line this year was arguably the best line in the league. Johnny Gaudreau just had a career year. I don't sense he's returning. I mean, it's not done
really,
until it's done. But it doesn't. It just feels like Calgary would know by now. And Calgary, why wouldn't you get the deal done by now?
Yeah.
If he's returning, like, why would he wait until the 13th? Like, maybe he's going to pull a Stamkos and go and talk and say, you know what, forget it, I want to go back to Calgary. I think I don't dispute that he likes Calgary, but it just seems like there's too much noise about him going back to the East Coast, Jersey, Philly, something like that.
Oh, yeah?
You think there's a way bigger number on the table, though?
No. I don't think it's about the number. I think Calgary would give him the most money and give him an extra year. I think Calgary would likely give him 8 years at whatever the top dollar is going to be. It's just about lifestyle. It's about living. And then you got the Matthew Tkachuk stuff hanging over you, too, where Tkachuk can go to arbitration, he can take a one-year deal, then he's a UFA.
That's concerning.
Yeah.
That is nerve-wracking, is what that is, if you were a Calgary Flame fan. Like, you could. This is not out of the realm of possibility. This is not fear tactics. You could be a year away from Gaudreau and Tkachuk both being on different teams. Yeah. And they were.
That can't happen, though. That can't happen.
Why not?
If you're running that club.
Oh, you can't let it happen is what you're saying.
You're saying you trade them? Like, well, you can't trade Gaudreau. Gaudreau's walking on you.
You can't control that one, but you gotta make this Matthew Tkachuk situation right, because that guy's the beating heart of your team.
Yes.
You can't watch that guy walk away for nothing after a one-year deal. That's just not acceptable. That's not good management. And I guess, look, you got to do everything in your power to make it go away and make it right.
Let me ask you this, though. Like, why do you think Gaudreau wants to be in Jersey or Philly so bad? Like, both those teams are not anywhere close to winning.
Nowhere close.
Like, you have a good shot in Calgary, and you have a Vesna-caliber goaltender. You have a good coach. You have line mates.
It's all you've ever known. I think they've treated him well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just simply the old adage, that's where he's from. Like, that's it. That's the only explanation.
That's where he's from. It's nice to go home. There's a novelty about it, but then you talk about it on a 7 or 8 year deal. I think, like, hey, how about this one? Hayes, you know, you played away from home in the Ontario Hockey League. Didn't you like being away a little bit? Wasn't it nice to just kind of be on your own page? You know, it's nice to come home. Like, I enjoyed playing in Toronto. It was awesome to be around family and friends and all that cool stuff. But there was just something about, for me anyways, being away in Vancouver where I'm on my own page. I'm doing my own thing. Like, I'm 3 hour time difference. I kind of liked it, you know? Mm-hmm. I liked it in a different way as a player.
Yeah, that's understandable. I'm with you. I don't know. Has it always been a dream? I think he's from just outside of Philly, I believe. So is Jersey just far enough? Jersey's like 2 hours.
That's right. Yeah, parts of Jersey are right next to Philly there, right?
Right. So it's like the Devils are basically in New York. They're not in Philly. So if you're with the Devils, are you just far enough where you're close to home, and if you want to pop down there, but it's not, no one's popping into the house unannounced, you know, maybe get the best of both worlds.
Everybody loves Raymond episode.
No? Maybe some unannounced
pop-ins. Maybe some pop-ins there. Yeah, pop-in, and I don't support the pop-in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, in Vancouver, I think there's some nerves out there as well in terms of like JT Miller, what's going to happen with him? Will he re-sign? Will they flip him? If they flip him, how do you replace that production?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're Bruce Boudreau, you got to be nervous because you got to win, man. And if Miller's out.
He's way more nervous than the Miller situation.
Absolutely.
I think the fans would be happy to not to get rid of Miller, but just to get a nice package in return because they've gone through 7 or 8 years of basically kidding yourself thinking you're a playoff team when you're not.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, there's some nerves. You know, there you can make the argument. There's definitely nerves in a number of Canadian cities. I think you can make the argument everywhere. Like in Edmonton, they had the best year technically based on what happened in the playoffs. Puljujärvi apparently is out there. Their goaltending's got to be addressed. As it's a hot-button topic here, it is out there as well. Like Koskinen's gone. Mike Smith will be 40 or 41. So they have to address that position. They're, you know, Winnipeg, they bring in Bonus, but there's some nerves there. They're just Scheifele going to finally go. What's going to happen with Wheeler? You know, there's every single market has it right now in Canada. That probably is not a surprise considering 30 years of no cup success. Right.
I was going to say we're coming up on the 30th anniversary next year, Hayes. Yep. 30th anniversary.
30th anniversary. It is tough
it's
to believe.
Disgraceful.
It is. It really is. It's awful. Like statistically, it's almost impossible, but it's happened.
Yeah.
Here's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Dregs, we're just kind of going around the table on which market in Canada we think is the most nervous about what could end up happening over the next couple of weeks. Do you have an answer on that? Frankie said Montreal. Dave said Toronto. I said Calgary. Seems like there's a lot of options up here.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about that. You know, Montreal definitely, but Montreal at least is in a place where, you know, the market has been conditioned for what will be a rebuild, and it's more about the excitement of what that rebuild is going to look like. You know, what pieces you're going to bring in, starting with the first pick overall tomorrow. Edmonton. You know, the Oilers can't afford to go backwards. They made it to the Western Conference Final. So is it going to be Jack Campbell in net for the Edmonton Oilers? And Leaf fans are going to have to watch him every weekend and potentially march deep into the Stanley Cup playoffs again next year. Well, it's headed in that direction. But it's not there yet, obviously. He's not a free agent until July 13th. But it seems like the Toronto Maple Leafs are okay with just walking away from Jack. So that then takes you into the world of the Maple Leafs and what they're going to do in goal. Kyle Dubas met with the media after the GM meetings and, you know, seems okay with the idea of keeping Peter Mrazek plus, whatever plus might be, whatever they grab from free agency or via trade. Calgary, boy, huge hotspot because you've got the uncertainty of Johnny Gaudreau and more are thinking he's going to free agency, which means he probably leaves Calgary. And then what does that do for the mindset of Matthew Tkachuk, a restricted free agent? You know, can you imagine if Matthew Tkachuk just flat out says, okay, well, Johnny Hockey's gone, so I'm not really interested in staying, so I'm not going to sign long-term. Well, now Calgary's backed into a corner there. So we've pretty much run the gamut here without diving deep into Toronto. And then I should actually mention Ottawa because the seventh pick overall we know is in play. You know, Pierre Dorion said earlier today he thought it was 50-50 whether he could move that pick or would move the pick. And it's now leaning towards more likely he moves the pick at some point between now and the start of the first round. And they've got some big adds that they've got to bring into the equation in Ottawa, up front, on defense. So every Canadian team has some significant moves.
Well, as you mentioned, the GM meetings and Dubas was speaking afterwards, and he tried to paint a picture of positivity around Peter Mrazek. Are you buying that optimistic view from Dubas and company in Toronto?
Well, I guess I'm okay with it because what else does Kyle Dubas have to say? I mean, they don't have a goalie, so
That's true.
Do have one in Peter Mrazek who's under contract. And I'm buying what he's selling in terms of it's hard to imagine Peter Mrazek having a worse year than the year that he's coming off of, you know, be it from an injury perspective or when he was healthy enough to play just the way he played. It was the worst experience of his career. So if you're an optimist, and Kyle seems to be that, then you look at him being better and maybe a lot better. But the one thing that struck me as odd was he also acknowledged ongoing discussions with Jack Campbell's camp, which is Kurt Overhart and company. I mean, I guess they're having discussions, but I don't think they're talking about a whole lot. There's been no meaningful negotiation. You know, they're really not talking about numbers at all. So what's the point of having any conversation? You know, if you've moved away from Jack Campbell, as you did with Freddie Anderson, then move away. You know, but what is plan A or plan B? You know, that's the big question I think Leaf fans need answered.
Dregs, what'd you make of Kyle Dubas' comments about Rasmus Sandin and the potential of an offer sheet? Because from the outside looking in, it reads like he's a little frustrated with how the contract negotiations have gone.
It sounds like that. Yeah, Chris Johnson actually just covered that on Insider Trading on SportsCenter. And we know that Dubas and the agent for Rasmus Sandin met, I believe, earlier today. So they're in an active negotiation. But this is about a couple of things. You know, it's always about the term and it's about the money. But Rasmus Sandin isn't shy on confidence. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in a positive form. He is betting and banking on himself. And he wants to know what his role is going to be like on that blue line for the Maple Leafs. Now, he doesn't have to be etched in stone. I mean, you know that you've got to earn your ice and power play time and all that. But he wants a clear indication that he's going to be given an opportunity to do that. So this could get done pretty quickly, but it feels like there's still some navigating for Kyle Dubas to get it to that point.
So, Dregs, yeah, we were talking about this earlier in the show about you look at that left side defensive depth for the Leafs, and you understand why Sandin could be frustrated because you got Riley, you got Muzzin, you got Giordano, you got TJ Brody, who's left-handed but does play the right side. It's a traffic jam to be sure. And there's the idea that watching, you know, the Lightning trade Ryan McDonough away, as good a player he was on a Stanley Cup team. But $6.75 million of cap space coming free. Do you see maybe saying, Jake Muzzin's getting older here. We gotta move off of him at 5.6 to free up some room, not only in the cap, but for a player as good as Rasmus?
Well, why not, right? I mean, you've got to make really challenging business decisions in this cap world, and nobody expects a salary cap to rocket through the ceiling in the next couple of years. I mean, the best case is the one that you just cited, and that's how crushed Ryan McDonough was when Julian Brisebois and the Lightning management approached him after the Stanley Cup final and said, geez, we'd really like you to work with us. You know, we need your cap space. And the reason they did that is because they've got Mikhail Sergachev coming up, right? And his extension is meaningful. It's going to matter to the long term of the Tampa Bay Lightning. But how many years does McDonough have left on a 7-year contract? 4? You know,
right.
When he signed, you know, he believed that, you know, he's probably going to retire with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Well, again, the business side of things looks after itself. So, you know, the Maple Leafs love the experience of Jake Muzzin. He's been good when healthy for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But defense is a currency right now for the Leafs. And it's an opportunity for them to shed some payroll and create a little bit more cap space. And Jake Muzzin seems to be the target.
With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Jesse Puljujärvi is a guy. His name appears to be out there. I don't know what his market is even supposed to be. I can't get a read on this guy and where his career is at and where it's going, Dregs. What is your understanding on that front?
Well, I know Edmonton is frustrated by how little interest there is in Jesse Puljujärvi. You know, they've got 3 or 4 teams that I would describe as nibbling. And I think that Edmonton is a bit worried that they potentially are going to take it between the eyes, you know, that this trade is going to go down and they're going to sell low and the market's not going to be happy. Well, again, it's about making tough decisions. Jesse Puljujärvi doesn't fit, I don't think, in the bottom 6 in Edmonton. And you can see the body language of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl when they're frustrated by his play and his decision-making. So it just feels like the right time to move for both Jesse Puljujärvi to give him a fresh start and for the Oilers to maybe reinvest those dollars elsewhere. I'm going to be curious. They're worried that he's going to get moved and he's going to pop. And he's going to find a way to be more impactful than he's been in Edmonton. But how can you worry about that stuff? You know, you can't. He's not a fit in Edmonton. At least that's the way it appears in their top 9. So move on.
Dregs, do you think this could be one of those drafts where we see a lot of big moves on the draft floor? I mean, there's been a little bit of rumblings. You talk about a flat cap. I feel like teams need to make dollar-for-dollar moves ahead of free agency. You think that's something we could see this week?
Yeah, we could. You know, that kind of dialogue and speculation always kind of heads our coverage, you know, going into round one. And look, there's also opportunity for some picks to move. You know, what's Arizona doing with Jake Chickering? You know, again, that's been one of the big stories here. No guarantee that he's going to get moved. You know, JT Miller talked about him. Tyler Myers' name is out there in the media in Vancouver as well. Well, how many of those things can be attached to, you know, moving of draft picks? You know, when you get past the top 10 of this draft, not a lot different than most drafts, you know, you can get a similar player deep in the first round or even early in the second round. But so many teams are up against it from a cap standpoint that there could be some interesting names, none that have surfaced beyond what we already know, but there could be some interesting names that are attached by a trade tomorrow or the next day.
So, Jags, you talked about the Mrazek situation and Mrazek being the best the Maple Leafs likely have right now if Jack Campbell's going to be too expensive. We had Kevin Weeks on. He was very adamant that the Maple Leafs should pursue John Gibson in a trade. We've had Noodles, you know, talk about how they should pursue Marc-Andre Fleury at the end of his career. Are you hearing much about what the strategy may be or could be for the Maple Leafs in the blue paint?
Well, I mean, you can try and get John Gibson. I would say good luck to that. I mean, Anaheim is trying to make a push too, right? Anaheim doesn't feel like they're that far away from being a playoff contender. And if they enjoy another great start, you know, maybe next year they kind of inch their way into that category. They're not doing that without John Gibson. And what does that package of return look like? Every time I ask about Gibson, I'm flat out told, stop asking about John Gibson.
Really?
So I haven't asked about it in the last little bit. I would say as far as Marc-Andre Fleury is concerned, I mean, it's an intriguing possibility in Toronto. I know that Alan Walsh, who represents Marc-Andre Fleury, met with Billy Guerin, who's the general manager of the Wild, earlier today. Guerin would love to keep Fleury in Minnesota and the tandem with Cam Talbot. But it's accurate to suggest that the Maple Leafs are an option that Marc-Andre Fleury would consider.
What does that deal look like, though, Dregs? I would have to believe it's a one-year deal, probably. Like, is Fleury asking for multiple deals, multiple years? Like, how would that deal even play out if it were to be in Toronto?
I mean, it's a good question. The family always comes into it, right? When you're in into one-year deals, that really impacts your kids because, you know, what happens after that 1 year? You're packing up and you're leaving again. At least with 2 years, you've got a little bit more stability under your belt. And at 37, Craig Anderson just re-upped with the Buffalo Sabres. So maybe Marc-Andre Fleury could squeeze out a third year. I don't know. I mean, Walsh isn't willing to disclose those type of details, but we might be surprised. And I don't think that teams would spook from a two-year, maybe even a three-year deal on Marc-Andre Fleury. And we haven't even talked about Darcy Kuemper. Now,
right. You
know, his agent also met with Joe Sakic earlier today here in Montreal. The feeling is that Kuemper will probably stay in Colorado. They'll likely have to take less, but when you're the defending Stanley Cup champion, you know, sometimes that's more appetizing in doing that. But if it's not Kuemper, why wouldn't Fleury consider a short-term in Colorado as well?
Yeah. As I would suggest that would be a good idea if you're Marc-Andre Fleury, for sure. Well, we'll see what comes of it between now and tomorrow night and then beyond that. It's going to be a fun 2 or 3 weeks. We appreciate you taking time. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, you got Fleury, Kuemper, Campbell. Interesting, Dreg saying Campbell and Edmonton.
Yeah.
Like, that was not – like, he wasn't just floating that out. That sounded you know, something was possibly moving in that direction. Hey, listen, like, they need a goalie. They need a goalie. They have some room. I don't know what you're paying Campbell if you're out in Edmonton, but
It's a good situation if you had Campbell and Smith, because I guess you run it as a tandem and you don't have to, you know, work Mike Smith as hard as he did this season.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you're giving Campbell a long-term deal of money, you need to expect 50 starts out of him.
Yes.
Like, if you're giving a guy $5 or $6 million a year, he's got to be able to grant you 50, 55 starts.
100%.
But, you know, if it's 50 and Smith's playing 32, okay. And you know who's starting game one of the playoffs.
Probably keep both guys happy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a. Sure. I mean, look, Jack Campbell just doesn't have that record of durability, right, Hayes? I mean, we saw it here in Toronto. I mean, and so you're taking a gamble there, but you got to believe that, hey, maybe as he matures as a player, he'll figure out how to take care of himself better and serve you well.
I don't know. I don't know if it's even taking care of yourself better. Like, I'm Johnny Warm Up, Dave. Like, I'm warming up. I'm doing all the foam rolling, everything. I'm just hurt every year. It's just sometimes that's just the way it is. And maybe it's the more that you do, you get hurt. I couldn't tell you. But every year it was like, oh, here comes the high ankle sprain. Here comes the ACL. Here comes, like, it's just, there's nothing you can do sometimes. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, he's become acclimated to a Canadian market. You know, like, that's another thing about Edmonton selling him. And I don't know if he's close with Hyman. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, Hyman, I'm sure, is probably in his ear and saying this is the way it operates out here. And
also, you get to play with McDavid.
Yeah. Like, right? You're going to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
So Edmonton's in a good that would be an interesting
spot. And you're hearing his other option was maybe Detroit because he's a Michigan guy.
Yep.
But, you know, you're not playing in the playoffs if you're playing for the Red Wings next year in all likelihood.
No.
Not as attractive.
Yeah. Well, that's something to track. And, you know, as for where the Leafs are at, Dreg's, you know, he's right about Mrazek is an employee of the team.
You know, it's not like you
don't throw him under the bus.
His key card still works.
It still works. Until he is no longer an employee, you do have to, you know, publicly treat him with some respect.
Yeah.
And it's your signing.
That's
it'd be different
thing.
If Dubas just got hired. He didn't just get hired. He
and
literally signed him.
That's just it. Maybe you got to give your signing. If you believed in it that much last year, maybe you got to believe in it almost as much this year and think it was just a blip.
Yeah, and that may end up being the direction they take.
Oh, man.
That will not go over
well
here.
Back in the Leafs uniform.
It will not go
over
well.
At training camp, there's going to be some unhappy people, especially.
Well, that's it.
Like, what if he gets off to a terrible start again?
What if he's injured in camp?
Oh.
Even worse. Like, if he starts with an injury, you're like, here we go again, Peter Mrazek.
You know who's going to be the most upset? It's your buddy who you do the show with every single day.
Oh. Yeah.
He can't do the funny business with the goaltending.
No, and I don't blame him.
Yeah.
And listen, he's leading the charge, but I'm on that bus too. And,
yeah.
And if it's Mrazek, you better hit on whoever the other guy is.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Mrazek and then someone really underwhelming with him.
Oh, boy.
I can't even imagine the reaction. It'll be explosive in Toronto.
The narrative's write itself at that point.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, when I was a player, I kind of thought everyone wanted to write negative stuff just because it was probably so easy. But now that I'm on this side of things, I'm like, it's actually way better when the Leafs are winning. It's way better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's in terms of business, I've had the same discussion so many. Do you know how much more audience you gain? How many more readers? Like, a championship run, go talk to the Raptors in 2019, when they covered that.
Yeah.
You know, the Blue Jays in, or obviously the early 90s, even 15 and 16.
Yeah.
You know, it's everyone wants winning. Like,
it's way better to talk about.
They play the games.
Yeah.
You know, you can yell and scream at me or whatever. I don't play the games. They play the games. They lose, you got to talk about it.
I knew when I played lousy. Everyone knows when they play lousy.
Yeah.
But just in this market, you can bet that someone's going to talk about it. You can't hide from it.
Of course not.
No, and Frankie, you're right, though. People just tune out. They stop caring at a certain point if the team isn't good, right?
Yeah.
And that's happened with the Leafs many times in the last, you know, 55 years.
Yeah.